from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I don't think Michael's ever done drugs.
It's Mike Shope.
I don't know if anyone's ever offered him any.
Let's go over some of the symptoms of marijuana use, shall we? You tell me who this sounds like.
It's the Bulldog.
Slow moving. Inattentive. Dull. Constantly snacking. Shows a lack of motivation.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog on WGR Sports Radio 550.
Just a special treat for those of you that love us so much that you never miss the very first words of our show. Little trivia. There are two NHL goalie figurines that live in this studio. And one is Patrick Laline in a Penguins jersey.
Without a stick.
Without a stick. He's lost his stick.
I'm assuming he had a stick when that came out of the package, but the stick seems to been lost in the ages.
The other is Patrick Waugh. I mean, I guess that makes some sense. He's a goalie that would have had a figurine, you would assume. Patrick Waugh.
That Patrick Waugh figurine is maybe the crappiest looking sports figurine I've ever seen in my life.
It's terrible. It's too big.
It's all out of proportion. The stick looks ridiculous. The stick appears to be about the size of the figure, which is absurd. And he's got this stupid all-blue goalie mask on, which no one would ever wear. It's terrible. That is a terrible job.
And then you're probably wondering, is there any sort of a tin in this studio that had cards in it once with an NHL logo and player themed? And it's yes. The answer is Guy Hebert.
Oh boy.
Anaheim Ducks.
A third goalie has made the
What is the deal with this room?
Into the room. It's a great I don't know.
I just hope every day not to fall under this carpet tear that I sit at every day. Every day is a win if I don't get suffocated by the floor. Milano, I mean, we were worried 2 days ago when this happened. And we were right to be.
Yeah. I was working very hard to try to not be worried, but I was worried. I don't know how it came off. I mean, it probably came off like, I just hope for the best. You know, he stood over there for a while, and, you know, maybe it could be a good sign. He tried to do a push-up. Yeah, no. Tough.
Adam Schefter tweeted December. Who knows, like, what's random? It's probably, none of it's probably random, but just, like, sort of why put that in there for December, like to give you some idea. Did the Bills tell him? The Bills told him all of this. Did they also tell him December? Like, is that included in what they told him? Because, you know, usually they're not about putting dates on things. Long term is good enough. But Schefter tweets December for Milano. If the bye is right before December games, if it's the case that his return is the first Bills game of December, week 13,
December 1st against the 49ers.
That's 25 games in a row missed, including playoffs.
Yeah.
And, you know, is what it is. I mean, it's two big injuries, but it's 25 games in a row.
Yeah, and you've got, I think we talked about this maybe I think it must have been because he went down when he did that we were talking about, you know, just our observations. You know, I shared some observations I've had watching footage of him moving around and how I'd heard that, you know, from early on, there still looked like some hesitation with the injured leg, the leg that had been injured. As far as just like, you know, pushing off, pivoting, it just looked, there was just like a little gap there. And that was getting better, it seemed, as these practices went on for him, and it might stand to reason that it would have continued to get better, but now that's at a standstill. Like, I don't know what he can and can't do. I imagine he could still work on strengthening the leg.
Yeah.
But as far as doing the activities that, you know, we were watching him do when I thought, there's a little bit of a lag there, I don't know how much of that he can work on. So you still might have a point of entry, even if the bicep is well enough, has improved enough, healed up enough for him to get on the field at some point late in the year, he's still coming. This is a good point about the 25 games. He's coming from a place where I don't think he was exactly ready yet to go play.
No, they said that.
At the level that he's been at when he's been an All-Pro. So that's a complicating factor, you know? You might be able to target December as a point for him to be healthy enough to play, but I would expect that there would be a ramp-up. Like a significant, you know, if he gets cleared, that it would take weeks, I think, of him just practicing, just to get on the field.
Well, I mean, somebody's thinking, listening to that, that can work out. Because that's when it matters for the Bills. Mm-hmm. That's when everything matters this year. They have to make it to December and not be dead. But even last year, losing games to New England and Denver, they did that. It was tight, but they did mm-hmm. that. And ended up as the 2 seed in a year where they were 6-6. They've been very good late in the season. And maybe it's sort of inverted this year where he ends up being your late season ad. And we can get excited for that. You know, who knows what he'll have. But the leg point and then this injury, you'd think, would be something where once he's back from it, he's back from it.
Right.
Wouldn't slow him down. That's the best you're going to do here, though.
Yep.
And it's another big, important defensive player gone.
Yeah, I mean, on top of, you know, we know the list of guys, but just to say it at least once, it probably will be said many more times on all of our station, all of our shows and platforms. But yeah, I mean, you've got 4 guys now. Milano is still on the team, but 4 guys who've been All-Pro players. They all weren't All-Pro players last year or anything. Milano obviously missed most of the season, so he wasn't. But Hyde and Poyer both had their shot, their looks at that. Tre'Davious White's had. So you got 4 players who've been at an All-Pro level that you're going to, that were on the team last year to begin the season, that are all not here anymore. And that, boy, that just feels really stark. Yeah, that's a lot to replace, I think. That's just a lot of continuity and a lot of know-how and just communication within the groups of the position players, if not the overall defense. Just a lot. It's a lot to, I think, try to get over.
I think of it this way, and if you don't know, in our conversations, which have been daily for months here, of course, on this upcoming season, I've been more concerned, I think, than you, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like I think that's fair. I mean, I got to get dragged this season. Somebody's got to get me to week 1 because just like it just feels like everything that's happening. Yesterday, we're hearing that the Bills are trying out Corey Davis. Retired receivers are now like in the conversation.
Yeah.
And now you have the bad news you might have expected on Milano, or at least worried about. Think of it like this, though. I mean, not that you want to necessarily, but when the season ended, last season ended, a lot of what was said was the Bills have got to figure out a way next year to take, it was always kind of put the same way, take more off of Josh Allen's plate, right? Like, they just were so dependent on him. And, you know, you have the Chief game where, I mean, a lot of things went well on offense. He made some great plays. A couple plays toward the end that were debated, you know, whether those were the right decisions. Then they missed the field goal and it's over. These guys, I mean, fans said it, national people said it. The team relies too much on him. I don't know if that's really right. I mean, the Chiefs have Chris Jones, and Kelsey. But the Chiefs mean Mahomes means a lot.
Sure, they rely on him a lot. Yeah,
but
sure.
I think it's also like sort of maybe subconsciously Allen being a runner. Maybe this is Baltimore too, like because Jackson's style that it's just too dependent. Mm-hmm. They need too much from him. We got to get more off of Josh Allen's plate. Well, here comes the season, and doesn't it feel like there's more on his plate?
Yes.
The defense is diminished. Mm-hmm. The receiver core, we don't even know what it's going to look like or is. That didn't happen. At least in terms on paper,
right?
No, it's not happened it's, that the Bills it, yeah. have been able to take more off of his plate.
It's hard to have the expectation that that will come to fruition, given what's happened here. It is more and more and more feeling like, you know, we got a couple people yesterday calling in, you know, as we're talking about the receiver room and Corey Davis, like, you know, not that how we'll remember the Diggs trade, I think, was even maybe the walking off point for some of this, but we're fine. We've got him. And, you know, that in and of itself, like stating it that way is saying, like, he can do it. Which, you know, that's not necessarily the Bills saying he'll do everything, but I think there's a certain part of the fan base. To an extent, I think that. I think that's a big part of the reason why you accurately described how we have both been feeling about the season coming up. I think you have been more worried about it than I have been. And I feel like I've got a king at quarterback, and there's a chance that all of this can still work because he's so good. But that is, by definition, if you feel that way, you are heaping a lot of this onto him. And he doesn't play defense, obviously, but the pressure to convert drives and get points could be higher if their defense is not what it's been, like, which is one of the top units in the league year over year over year here under McDermott. Starting out here without Milano, like, we'll see here. You know, Dorian Williams has flashed and has a lot of positive athletic traits, but one of them is that, well, he's really fast, but sometimes he uses that fast speed to get to the wrong place.
That sounds like me.
Everywhere he goes, he gets there quickly, but if he chooses wrong, that can be a real problem. So we'll see how, you know, maybe he can be this year's Terrell Bernard. That's like the best you can, that is...
Anybody would take that.
Oh, my God.
I mean, there's a debate on just what Bernard is, I think. He made so many plays. He ran, as we would say in the in the fantasy space or the betting space. Like, he ran so pure with takeaways. That's to his credit, but that's also like kind of random. I wouldn't expect that again. But, you know, he was – you would take that season from him last year again this year.
One of the reasons I haven't been as worried as maybe you have been is the idea of Milano and Bernard together for the whole year. Because I think Milano, when he's right, if he were to get right before this biceps injury, with Bernard for a whole year. Because Bernard, it's too bad the way the timing worked out. I feel like Bernard was just sort of emerging, and then he lost Milano next to him. And that was really tough. And so we haven't really gotten a chance to see Bernard as an established, you know, really good-looking player with Milano alongside him. And that's really too bad. But yeah, absolutely. I mean, if Dorian Williams can get me like 80% of what Bernard gave the Bills last year in his second year, that would be a huge win.
It sounds like there's a lot on Bernard's plate going into this season.
Okay. Are they asking him to do too much?
Are they asking Bernard to do too much? I don't know, guys. Like, I got to get to week one. Now I've got this practice with the Steelers today, and Kendall Williamson is a starting safety at the end of practice for the Bills. I don't know who that is. I mean, I don't know who Kendall Williamson is, if that's even the right name, but like, that could just be the heat. It was hot there. We'll talk to Sal about it later. I'm definitely going too far with that, but that's a big, it's not going too far to point to safety and just wonder. Like, it has sounded this summer like they're going to need Hamlin.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But I think it's now, we're at a point, we're so far in that the likelihood of Mike Edwards helping them at all is decreasing, I think, by the day. That he was injured in the spring and now injured early in camp and just hasn't done anything. And I think he was supposed to be, you know, a starting caliber player. Cole Bishop hopefully gets back sometime soon, but there's only one more preseason game after Saturday. He's not playing in that one. So, yeah, Hamlin and Rapp. And then, yeah, from there, Williamson is the second of the two safeties they signed. They signed Kareem Jackson right away when Edwards was hurt. And then I think the next day or even the same afternoon, that's when Bishop went down. And then the next day is when they brought Williamson in.
I mean, look, forever, whenever it was sort of readily available, I'm looking at the odds to see what I think the consensus is, because that's going to tell you what the consensus is on the Bills. And before, I think much of the fan base, are you waiting to say something else about that?
Williamson's not the guy I'm thinking. I was thinking of the other guy. Burgess was the other safety that they brought in after Kareem Jackson. I got the timing messed up, but they're both safeties. Anyways, go ahead.
Okay. They're the same to me.
Sure,
at this point. Right. But that might not be right. Anyway, since whenever it was that the odds, futures odds, you know, win totals became like readily available, and now they're just absolutely that, going back to like when the spring, like you can bet this stuff. Going back years, that's my, you know, compass when it comes to what's the likeliest outcome for this team. And there were years when there was a lot of excitement in the fan base, and I would push back against it because the markets didn't, the Aaron Schatz community, if you will, didn't like him. You know, just, okay, he's a good prospect, but good for you adding LeSean McCoy. It won't matter, but it probably feels really good. Oh, what a great trade. Probably feels really good. Won't matter. Didn't really matter. So then we had years where it went the other way. And I don't think as many fans were really ready to talk Super Bowl, but the markets were. I mean, that Rams, the year they opened with the Rams, 22,
mm-hmm.
Here are the Rams who were the defending champions with the honor of hosting the opening game. They were an underdog in their own stadium against a Bills team that maybe lost in the second round. That's after 13 seconds.
Right.
Like, we talked about it constantly with guests and with each other and with callers. Like, trust it. This year's different, and that absolutely, I know it does, just intuitively, it contributes to my relative pessimism about it. They are the favorite in the AFC East. That's good. Check. That's mm-hmm. good. They are the favorite of all the divisions with the longest odds. There's no tighter favorite than the Bills. The Jets are a virtual tie. You might even find the Jets as a favorite, depending on, I just looked at FanDuel because of you.
Thank
I
you.
Felt like that would be. I was loyal to you to look at FanDuel.
Well, they are the official sports book of WGR, so
okay.
I appreciate
your
loyalty.
I have, you know, I'm not personally a part of that, but I work here, so we've got these hockey figurines. I mean, I'm attached to that, too. So you can also, there's so much, I was talking to you about it, just looking it all up before we started, and there's so much to, you know, you can bet. Well, here's one. A team's exact number of wins. I think everybody kind of knows there's an over-under. Theirs is 10.5. Which is, by the way, under is minus 150, which is a lot for any team. If it gets higher, I don't know the number exactly, but if it gets much higher than that, they move the line to make it closer to 50-50, you know, people betting each side. But like, if you think the Bills win 11 games and you bet that, that's plus money this year. And
that's a change.
What they've done every year for four straight is win 11 games. So if you think they're going to win 11 games, you can really profit betting that. And maybe they will. 10.5 is the line. 10.5 minus 150 on the under. Then you can look at, I started to say it, the exact number of games they win. 10, which I think is like the most likely, or maybe 9 is, but 10 is right there at that line. That's plus 650. Okay. 8 is also plus 650. They have the same, you know, by the betting markets, odds of winning exactly 10 and 7 as 8 and 9.
Yeah.
So if you see a big year and you're into this, and you probably already know it if you're into this, like I'm not yet anyway betting anything, although very promising, FanDuel, by the way, offering me a cash out on my Detroit Tigers AL Central bet. if I want the 13 cents. I have yet to decide if I how badly I want. Do I keep my dignity?
How far are they behind Cleveland at this point? Cleveland's
got they're way out of it.
Cleveland's got the best.
They dumped at the deadline, had no chance.
Right.
Yeah, so 13 cents is available to me. If hopefully times are not quite that bad. I'm saying hopefully because they might be. 10.5, heavy on the under, plus 650 to win 8, which is the same as 10. And it's not because of Matt Milano, it's because of everything put together.
Right, yeah, that didn't just change today. I shouldn't say that. Like I don't look at these things every day, but I'd be surprised. We talked a little bit about this yesterday with Sam Monson, I think, even or Andrew. What moves the line? Like nothing, linebacker injury is not going to affect the line.
I sort of framed that question and he's like as soon as he started talking, I'm like, I know. It's right, just sort of
right.
What is Milano's worth was the question. And he did say he's good. He's worth a lot. He's valuable. Which we would all say. We all know that. But
it's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket. Follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Okay.
Just isn't reflected in that way.
No.
Very little is outside of quarterbacks like we talked about that day. So, anyway.
Well, hey, you play a role here. Call us up at 803-0550. I'm not telling you how to feel. Maybe you sort of share this kind of vibe or not. we want both. We need, I'm sure some fans are going to be like, come on here. They're the favorite in the division. I think you said that. And so that's good.
Yep.
And they've proven a lot over these 4 years. And Allen, of course, it always will come back to him. But I'll say again, the message out of last season was less on his plate. How is that going? Ray Davis? I mean, Samuel is the best you're going to do for someone new that you really think could
change who they are on offense?
Who's the biggest addition, right? Like, take less off his plate or take more off his plate. Put less on his plate.
There you go.
On the wagon, off the wagon. Rely less on Josh Allen. Where are the players that are on the team now that are meant to do that? That's really the point.
Mm-hmm.
That could, you want to say Samuel, fine. He's one of them. So is Coleman.
Right.
But there's not
a proven go-to, like, this'll work.
They let the center go, Morse, because of the cap, to save $8.5 million on the cap. They replaced him with someone they had.
Yep. And replaced him with another guy they had.
Yeah.
That's what they did, right? They moved McGovern over and moved Edwards into that spot, and he'd been like a, sixth lineman for a lot of last year.
Okay. 803-0550 if you want to weigh in. We hope you do. Sal will give us some details on the practice. And do you have more details? Is that what you're...
Catherine Fitzgerald is there covering this for the news. And I've got in my Twitter feed that Dorian Williams is getting attention from athletic trainers on the bench. Hang on. Yes,
he did speak with the media afterwards saying he's fine.
Okay, good. Thank you. All right.
Could just be a ruse.
Yeah. Oh. But that just popped in. So, yeah.
The trainers are messing with us.
Right.
They're just running over to everybody. Because we would report anything they did, the trainers.
Yeah.
I mean, if a trainer runs to a player.
We're on edge over here. We are going to, yeah.
So it's going to get out.
I was, after the Milano news early this afternoon, I guess it was, the rest of the afternoon, every time I looked through Twitter, I was like, I felt like I was watching the Blair Witch Project. I'm just like scanning through, like looking at the, you know, you got the avatars of reporters I know that are there. And I'm just like, no. Can I just shut this off? I don't want any more news. I don't want Kyer Elam took his pads off. I don't want Dorian Williams is down being looked at by trainers. Just stop.
Stop. That's really the theme just of the stop. Preseason and camp is stop. Stop the 2024 Bills. All right. We'll look for your calls next. We'll have Sal later. We don't know exactly when. It depends on when things wrap in Pittsburgh. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. Thanks for being with us. This is WGR.
Yeah, Dorian's going to do a good job. He's been making progress, and it's now not only his time to step up, but his teammates around him to step up. It's not just one person's job to fill the void or try and fill the void, you know, left by Matt. You're never going to replace a player like Matt or Matt's influence, but now it's time for our team to move forward in a resilient manner and pick each other up, and guys like Dorian have to step up.
Sean McDermott speaking today. Matt Milano out indefinitely, torn bicep. This will be another season then, two in a row, where the Bills will be without him for a long stretch of games. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. The latest, you know, there have been good things too, but the latest cause for concern with the Bills this year, you know, going back to last year and the changes that have happened, one thing that would have been popular to say coming out of the season was you get Milano back next year.
Right.
And they don't.
No.
At least for a while. We'll look for your calls now at 803-0550. Bills and Steelers wrapping up. Mike Tomlin is speaking right now, and he says Russell Wilson will start. Everybody healthy will play on Saturday against the Bills, and I would think that goes both ways. Maybe not everybody, but I would think Josh Allen, maybe that's a half. Do we know?
I don't know. I have not heard. I don't think he talked about that today before practice is when McDermott spoke to the media, and I've not seen any indication either way on that. So I don't know if he has another media availability between now and the game. Tomorrow's like more of like a walkthrough kind of day, so I don't know when or if we'll find out, but it's kind of odd that we haven't heard anything yet, if he's not appearing with the media again between now and game time on Saturday.
I would think everybody. I would think it would be the same as the Steelers.
I think Allen has usually just played the one game, though, in the preseason, and he did play in this game, you know, this past game on Saturday.
But part of it for me is, though, that like they don't have their third string guy, and to function on offense, you know, it's not for his benefit, but it's for theirs, everybody's, yeah, to have him out there. No? I mean, do you want to play Ben DiNucci,
sure,
for a half?
That's why he's here.
That's right.
It's to go in there and play and really maybe have almost no idea what he's actually supposed to be doing.
Well, what is the benefit of any of that?
That's the gig. I mean, that's it. There isn't one, really. It's just get through the game. That's why he was brought here. So
he'll play some.
DiNucci, yeah, right. So yeah, I don't know. I could go either way on Allen, but I want to check to make sure. I'll look at the boxes from the last few years, but I think it's normally one game he plays, and then that's the end of that.
Don't know. I'm not good at that.
Okay.
I can't tell you what happens in the preseason too well. Here's Steve next. Hi, Steve.
Hey, good afternoon. When I hear, you know, taking stuff off of Josh's plate, you know, it's almost coach speak for, you know, Josh is going to drop back and throw it 50 times. I think Josh Allen is our quarterback, and we, you know, he should have a full plate. You know, you take stuff off Mac Jones's plate, but I assume they're going to do a little bit more of how they played the end of the year last year when I hear that, but I really just take it as coach speak, as in it just does not mean anything. He's Josh Allen. His plate should be full. We should run out of crab legs, and they should be making more for Josh.
Okay, you know, fine.
I like the way you put that.
It's there is truth to it, though. Go back a year. One thing the Bills themselves, and certainly in turn and in kind, we talked about a lot last year, was Allen running, and it was correct to predict that they were going to rein him in. That was the same thing. That's taking stuff off his plate. You know, it's funny, but they tried to do that. They wanted to do that. There were no big, they did not draft a wide receiver of value last year. It was, you know, kind of patchwork after Diggs and Davis. Kincaid, I mean, he counts. He was a rookie, mm-hmm. but they wouldn't let him. He was just running flat routes, you know, not anything that Knox could have done for most of the season anyway. So they wanted to take, they wanted to be a team. Latavius Murray, right? Wasn't Latavius part of Latavius Murray and Damian Harris both meant for, well, we don't want Allen to get killed inside the five.
Right, short yardage, goal line type stuff. Even, you know, third, fourth down, short, you know, short, any short yardage situation. It doesn't even necessarily be the goal line. But, yeah, the idea was to get a bigger, more physical guy that could, you know, do that for you at least some of the time. I mean, you're never going to want to stop Allen entirely from running, but yeah, that's the idea. And this year, that's Ray Davis, I guess. Like that's it. Because there's no Murray, there's no Harris, there's other depth running backs, but I think like Davis is the replacement for both Harris and Murray.
I can't get to, they should have signed one of these bigger name running backs, somebody Bulldogs heard of. They should. I won't tell you they should have done that, mm-hmm. but I think it's interesting that they didn't. With Cook not being big, you knew there was going to be somebody else, but what that is a fourth-round pick. Okay, well, the key thing here, I mean, well, one key thing here, it's not just this. The defense, what are your expectations now with the combination of the departures, all that experience, and the injuries so far, safety and Milano now? Maybe you get a bounce back from Von Miller. That's bonus, I think, if you do.
Ooh, I don't think I can really live with that phrasing.
You need it.
You need it. Yeah, I mean, I can't. They I think have to be counting on it because I don't know where else it's coming from. So that's not to say like you should expect it, but and I don't know internally if they're exactly expecting it either. But I don't know where they're getting sacks from if Miller doesn't get them 8 to 10. I have a hard time. It doesn't mean it can't happen that a guy like Rousseau or an Epinesa, who've had, 3 and 4 years now in the league respectively, can't find another gear, find another level. But I feel like you know who they are at this point. And, Rousseau, I think, is a more productive player than Epinesa. They both have flashes and tremendous athleticism, but they just have not been, you know, super dangerous and productive over there. They're okay. Like they're pretty good, but they're not a threat. I don't feel like. Like Miller has been, a threat. Oh God, they got a guy over there. And without Miller, that guy does not exist on this roster.
You know, in terms of the public, and maybe this is also something internally that would manifest, it's McDermott's year with no Hayden Poyer, with no Trey White. It's McDermott's year to sort of remind everybody like what his value is as a defensive coach. The whole thing about these Bill seasons after when they've lost, I mean, I'm not saying they're going to lose again necessarily, but when these seasons have ended, we have these conversations about, well, how long do we go with Sean McDermott, who is not somebody that's coaching Allen, not on the offensive side of the ball. If your offensive coordinator pops, he leaves for a head coaching job somewhere else. What is the real value here? And I would not short McDermott his share of the credit for their defense just because Hyde and Poyer exist. You know, like he deserves his share of the credit for what the Bills have been defensively. Now, though, like now it's on. Because they're missing a lot of that,
yep.
And we're all going to want to think or expect even that McDermott's value will come to the surface again. And here it is. Like, it's not going to be as easy this time, but we've got him, and he'll figure out, just like, Bernard happened, and he'll get credit.
Right. Yeah.
Benford, different guys who are not big draft picks. Well, I mean, they've got this coach who have helped them to be these good players. Now there's just more of that,
right?
And it'll be an interesting conversation through the year if their defense is not as good.
One of the reasons I think you could get, I would admit to get, try, you know, getting somewhat optimistic and excited, part of the reason I like the Cole Bishop pick so much, and he's not a late round guy, he was a second round pick, but I like the pick so much because of the point exactly you just made, that I've got a coach here who turned, I think turned Hyde and Poyer into all pro level players. And I say like the players didn't have a lot to do with that too, but McDermott should get credit for that. And I think he does. So, all right, now it's time to turn the trick again. Here's a, you know, a really interesting, exciting athletic profile. It's, you know, not fully formed, therefore pretty raw, but, you know, this is an athlete with good instincts and, you know, can play center field for you, and also be up in the box, whatever. Versatile looking kid. McDermott is why I would get excited about his presence on the roster. Now he's been out, of course, now for week to week with the injury that he suffered. But that McDermott is absolutely at the center of any excitement about that draft pick. And yeah, I mean he's on the spot here. And sadly, like the whole team, like McDermott, his defenses have been excellent, but what is somebody waiting to tell you every time you give him credit for that is, yeah, tell me about the playoffs.
Right.
Right? They've been kind of taken apart in the playoffs by Mahomes, which is, you know, not a ton of shame in that, but for as good as your defense is, they have yet to have a game really against Mahomes and the Chiefs where they and he have done, say, what the Bengals did to the Chiefs in Arrowhead when they won the AFC title.
Oh, I have in this notebook Mahomes' numbers from the three playoff games. I mean, I found it. 29 for 38, 325, 3-0. 33 for 44, 378, 3-0. Last year, 17 for 23, 215, 2-0. Not as much, but 26 incompletions, 8 touchdowns, no picks in 3 games.
Right.
That's right.
I mean, it's a high bar.
Well, have whatever percentage of the fan base it is, I think it's still pretty small, that sort of finger McDermott, and he's the problem. He has to go if the Bills are ever going to get to the top. Some small percentage, I would say small, of the fan base thinks that. Now, those people are not going to give you, they're going to be in your face.
Mm-hmm.
Because if the defense isn't good, at least good.
And that was going to be a big question and probably challenging in ways that it has not been since he's been here with a healthy Matt Milano.
Yeah, it'll be harder.
Now it just got harder today. Yeah. So, shocker, my recall powers, faulty once again. Allen has played in 2 preseason games as recently as last season.
He played in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
That was the second.
And then against Chicago. He sat out the first one. He played in the second and third games last year.
Indianapolis was the first game last year. Richardson.
Right.
The Pittsburgh game last year was pretty ugly.
Yeah. Yeah, it wasn't good.
Jalen Warren, Jordan Poyer is the one play from that game.
Yeah, which is why it came up at some point yesterday just in passing. Like, didn't they play in Pittsburgh last year? I'm like, oh, yeah. Because I remember Jalen Warren scaring me about Poyer. Like, oh, what's happening here? he used to be better than that, I think.
That game had us on the following Monday asking whether it was worth doing to actually sort of, like, talk about the preseason. Like, was that game so bad that we should really look at it? So did the Bears game, kind of.
Yep.
But that game was maybe worse. I don't know. I don't know how
it wasn't as crooked score-wise, but it really, for me, all I really remember is Jalen Warren making Poyer look old. And that really concerned me.
He might be good, though.
Yeah. Warren. Yeah, I like him. But still, it's just outclassed on that one play.
Okay, Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. Sal Capaccio will join us at 5. There's still a lot for him to do in Pittsburgh, and then I guess probably travel back to his room, and then Springsteen. We don't even know if that's happening. Do you know? I do not.
I don't know.
We talked to Sal yesterday, and he laid out the potential for an amazing weekend. Then Andrew Filippone came on. Don't forget about Rick Springfield on Sunday night, and I guess we had. And that's a tremendous addition to that lineup.
I already forgot about it.
Well,
I don't consider
lucky
it
for me.
Tremendous addition.
Lucky for you, you have me to remind you. Rick Springfield.
They're traveling back after the game anyway.
So, yeah. So, you're not going to be there Sunday night.
Stay there. If Springsteen were Sunday night, maybe you stay. But yep. Rick Springfield, I don't know.
Lines open at 803-0550. We'll be looking for your calls all the way up until 5 when Sal joins us, and then after. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here, WGR. Justin Simmons to the Falcons. Reporting on that is Scott Erickson, NFL ESPN insider, and fine pitcher in his day for the Twins and Orioles, Scott Erickson.
I remember him.
Tall.
Yeah, kind of a big round face and a very 80s-looking haircut.
Sort of a mullet?
Yeah, like the split. Well, I'm one to talk, like part in the middle, sort of. That's how I remember this guy, if I've got the right guy.
I think you do.
All right.
91 Twins.
All right.
Scott Erickson.
Yep.
Unfortunately, World Series winners. Beating Atlanta.
Well,
I was very into the Braves
in
those years. The Avery, Smoltz, David Justice, Ron Gant Braves.
Sure. I like them too. Yeah. Do you remember the pitcher Ben McDonald?
Absolutely.
Orioles pitcher.
I interviewed him.
At ESPN? Or on our show?
In Rochester.
He was in studio, Chris. Do you not remember? No. Okay.
When I worked for the Red Wings.
All right.
He was down once and we talked.
Do you happen to know, I heard a Ben McDonald doing color commentary on a baseball game that I think it was a major MLB network crew. I don't think it was the Orioles or I don't remember even who they were playing.
I know it wasn't at the Rays.
But right. That's right. But I heard the first thought I had when I heard this guy speaking was, is Brett Boone doing games that we don't know? Because it a very sort of older-ish sort of, you know, southerny kind of like, just it's like how Brett Boone sounds when he's on with us. And I thought, like, this could be him. No, it's not him. And then I was waiting for, you know, a few innings and I wasn't exactly paying attention. So I don't know. Maybe they said their names a few times. But.
Well, Ben McDonald went to LSU.
Okay.
So maybe.
All right.
I mean, I would guess that.
I
don't know.
I never Googled it, but I thought, like, I wonder if that's the Ben McDonald, the former Orioles pitcher, Ben McDonald. The guy sounded like an older than I would think Ben McDonald is, I guess is the point I'm making.
Let me check that.
It's also
56, I'm seeing.
All right. He's like, so my age, kind of.
That's generous.
Yeah. So it's possible he sounds like an older guy. Okay. Because, you know.
Does the Southern accent make you sound older? Necessarily?
I don't think necessarily, but this guy speaking just sound. I don't think it was the accent so much. He just sounded like an older guy, and I thought, is this one of these moments where I'm thinking a guy that came up pitching, well, when you were working in Rochester in the 90s, is he old?
That was the end of his career. Like he was a phenom,
right?
McDonald.
Yep.
By 90, I was there 94, 95. By 95, he was kind of done, as I remember it. But, yeah, I don't know. So Scott Erickson is reporting that safety Justin right. Simmons is signing with Atlanta. How about Atlanta? Matthew Judon.
Right. They still got to figure out a contract with him? Maybe. Right?
Well, you know they will if they make the trade.
Unless you're the Jets. I mean,
you're not the Jets, at least.
I suppose.
Optimal organization, you know, planning. You're making that deal. The player is going to destroy you in the leverage once you've traded for him like this, but you're never going to, well, the Jets did this, right? Somehow that happened with Hassan Reddick.
Yep.
But how bad would you look? It's a third. It's not a first-round pick, but you're getting that done.
Yeah, I would expect. It is the same Ben McDonald.
It is?
And he is the Orioles color commentator on Mid-Atlantic Sports Network, Ben McDonald.
Right. Very good.
Nice to get resolution to that. I don't want to leave it hanging.
You don't want that
cliffhanger into the next segment. I mean, I wanted to get it buttoned up.
That's right. Would Matt Milano's injury call for a shuffling of the reverse AFC power rankings? Is it that significant? I'm not saying we necessarily will do it, but does Milano's injury change your sort of instincts on the Bills in the AFC? 803-0550. Tell us what you think it's worth. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here. Sal Capaccio to come in just over an hour. This is WGR.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Or in Jordan Poyer is the one play from that game.
Yeah, which is why it came up at some point yesterday just in passing. Like, didn't they play in Pittsburgh last year? I'm like, oh yeah. Because I remember Jalen Warren scaring me about Poyer. Like, oh, what's happening here? he used to be better than that, I think.
That game had us on the following Monday asking whether it was worth doing to actually sort of, like, talk about the preseason. Like, was that game so bad that we should really look at it? So did the Bears game, kind of.
Yep.
But that game was maybe worse. I don't know. I don't know how
it wasn't as crooked score-wise, but for me, all I really remember is Jalen Warren making Poyer look old, and that really concerned me.
He might be good, though.
Yeah. Warren. Yeah, I like him, but still, it's just outclassed on that one play.
Okay. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. Sal Capaccio will join us at 5. There's still a lot for him to do in Pittsburgh, and then I guess probably travel back to his room, and then Springsteen. We don't even know if that's happening. Do you know? I do not.
I don't know.
We talked to Sal yesterday, and he laid out the potential for an amazing weekend. Then Andrew Filippone came on. It's, don't forget about Rick Springfield on Sunday night. And I guess we had. And that's a tremendous addition to that lineup.
I already forgot about it.
Well,
I don't consider
lucky
it a
for me.
Tremendous addition.
Lucky for you, you have me to remind you. Rick Springfield.
They're traveling back after the game anyway.
So, you're not going to be there Sunday night.
Stay there. If Springsteen were Sunday night, maybe you stay. But yep. Rick Springfield, I don't know.
Lines open at 803-0550. We'll be looking for your calls all the way up until 5 when Sal joins us, and then after. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here, WGR. Justin Simmons to the Falcons. Reporting on that is Scott Erickson, NFL ESPN insider, and fine pitcher in his day for the Twins and Orioles, Scott Erickson.
I remember him.
Tall.
Yeah, kind of a big round face and a very 80s looking haircut.
Sort of a mullet.
Yeah, like the split. Like, well, I'm one to talk, like part the middle, sort of. That's how I remember this guy, if I've got the right guy.
I think you do.
All right.
91 Twins.
All right.
Scott Erickson.
Yep.
Unfortunately, World Series winners.
Unfortunately.
Beating Atlanta.
No.
I was very into the Braves
in
those years. The Avery, Smoltz, David Justice, Ron Gant. Braves.
Sure. I like them too. Yeah. Do you remember the pitcher Ben McDonald? Orioles pitcher.
I interviewed him.
At ESPN or on our show?
In Rochester.
He was in studio, Chris. Do you not remember? No. Okay.
When I worked for the Red Wings.
All right.
He was down once and we talked.
Do you happen to know? I heard a Ben McDonald doing color commentary on a baseball game that I think it was a major MLB network crew. I don't think it was the Orioles or I don't remember even who they were playing.
I know it wasn't at the Rays.
That's right. But I heard the first thought I had when I heard this guy speaking was, is Brett Boone doing games that we don't know? Because it a very sort of older-ish sort of, you know, southerny kind of like, just it's like how Brett Boone sounds when he's on with us. And I thought, like, this could be him. No, it's not him. And then I was waiting for, you know, a few innings and I wasn't exactly paying attention. So I don't know. Maybe they said their names a few times.
But, well, Ben McDonald went to LSU.
Okay.
So maybe.
All right.
I mean, I would guess that.
I
don't know.
I never Googled it, but I thought, like, I wonder if that's the Ben McDonald, the former Orioles pitcher, Ben McDonald. The guy sounded like an older than I would think Ben McDonald is, I guess is the point I'm making.
Let me check that.
It's also
56, I'm seeing.
All right. He's like, so my age, kind of.
That's generous.
Yeah. So it's possible he sounds like an older guy. But, you know,
does a Southern accent make you sound older necessarily?
I don't think necessarily, but this guy speaking just sound. I don't think it was the accent so much. He just sounded like an older guy. And I thought, is this one of these moments where I'm thinking a guy that came up pitching, well, when you were working in Rochester in the 90s, is he old?
That was the end of his career. Like he was a phenom,
right?
McDonald.
Yep.
By 90, I was there 94, 95. By 95, he was kind of done, as I remember it. But, yeah, I don't know. So Scott Erickson is reporting that safety Justin Simmons is signing with Atlanta. How about Atlanta? Matthew Judon.
Right. They still got to figure out a contract with him? Maybe. Right?
Well, you know they will if they make the trade.
Unless you're the Jets. I mean,
you're not the Jets, at least.
I suppose.
Optimal organization, you know, planning, you're making that deal. The player is going to destroy you in the leverage once you've traded for him like this, but you're never going to, well, the Jets did this, right? Somehow that happened with Hassan Reddick.
Yep.
But how bad would you look? It's a third. It's not a first-round pick, but you're getting that done.
Yeah, I would expect. It is the same Ben McDonald.
It is?
And he is the Orioles color commentator on Mid-Atlantic Sports Network, Ben McDonald.
Right. Very good.
Nice to get resolution to that. I don't want to leave it hanging.
You don't want
a
that
cliffhanger into the next segment. I mean, I wanted to get it buttoned up.
That's right. Would Matt Milano's injury call for a shuffling of the reverse AFC power rankings? Is it that significant? I'm not saying we necessarily will do it, but does Milano's injury change your sort of instincts on the Bills in the AFC? 803-0550. Tell us what you think it's worth. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here. Sal Capaccio to come in just over an hour. This is WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.